This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
To The Point listeners, don't hang up. Listen, I know what you're thinking. That's not the voice you were expecting. You were expecting the high energy Chris Yano, get you fired up, grip the steering wheel voice, and you didn't. You got Tall Paul. But hang with me here. We're going to do something a little different today, but kind of the same. Chris is actually out of the country. He's in Peru for 2 weeks, I think. And he's actually letting me run a podcast. Now, he tested the waters with this a few months ago. He let me kind of share some things with you guys and bring on some re-recordings, I guess, to test the water. But today we've got a live guest in the studio with just me, but not just me. I've got a safety net. So he brought on someone that if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you may be familiar with our co-host today. It's not Travis Ringy. Sorry, Travis. He's probably out on his boat somewhere or out hanging out with Ishmael. But Chad Peterman, episode 48 from Peterman Brothers in Indianapolis, among other cities. So Chad, welcome as the co-host. Welcome to my chair.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I definitely think that I can probably bring your level of energy. We're a lot alike in a lot of ways. So I think we should be good there. You've got your work cut out for you, bringing the energy like Chris does.
Man, I'm trying. And you know, you mentioned we're a lot alike. I noticed earlier this week you posted an Oprah quote on LinkedIn, and I was like, man, that's my soul brother. Like, you're the only other person I know in the industry who quotes Oprah like I do. So thank you for being that kind of guy.
Yeah. I got a lot of flack for that around the office, because that goes out to everybody in the company on Mondays. And people were like, what kind of week is it going to be if you're already quoting Oprah? It's, 5 a.m. on a Monday. I said, well, you know, I found it. I thought it was good.
And I'm a believer in Oprah. And actually, she has informed some of the ways I ask questions. She's really good about digging deeper. There's some other people that have informed the way I interview, but she's actually one of them. And actually, if Chris would ever ask me personally, like, hey, Paul, who would you have dinner with? Aside from my father and, you know, maybe Jesus, it'd be Oprah. Oprah knows everybody, right? You could be like, hey, Oprah, tell me about Mick Jagger. And she'd tell you all about Mick Jagger. So I'm a believer, man. Look, Chris is already going to cut me off. I hope this makes it to air. I hope that's not edited out. So To The Point listeners, if you've made it this far, I think you're sticking with us. If you're like me and you tune into a podcast or a sermon and the main guy's not there, you usually bounce, but this is going to be a good one. We're going to talk about a lot of things with our guest today. And by the way, Chad's not the guest, he's the co-host. So I want to get right into it because I know that I'm long-winded. We're going to talk about the relationship between a player and a coach and talk about a lot of different interesting things with our guest today. But I thought I would give Chad the opportunity to kind of introduce our guest today, as he is, he's had a relationship with him a long time. So Chad, all yours, man.
Absolutely appreciate it, Paul. I know for you listeners out there, every Tuesday morning when I wake up, I get into my podcast and see who the guest is going to be. I can promise you this morning, whether you're working out or making breakfast or getting ready or whatever it is that you do while you listen, you'll definitely want to listen to this one. So today we have on the podcast a friend of mine who is very near and dear. I met him back in 2015 when we first joined Nexstar. We were a company, I was actually telling somebody this today, that we didn't have a whole lot of, we had some stuff going. It just may have not been going like we needed it to go. And this guy helped us for five, almost 6 years, really fine tune our business and get us heading in the right direction. Formerly a Nexstar business coach, now the COO of Redwood Services. We would definitely like to extend a warm welcome to our guest today, John Conway. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Hey, Chad, it's good to be here, my friend. And thank you so much for the kind words. Exciting to be here with you guys today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Hey, quick question. I know Chris always opens with icebreakers and I'm not great about that, but I got a question since you're from Memphis. Best barbecue in Memphis. Should we ever visit? Where's the best place to get barbecue?
If you're going to get barbecue in Memphis, my go-to when it's time to go eat barbecue, maybe not where it's time to go wine and dine people, but when it's time to go eat barbecue, I go to Central Barbecue in Memphis.
And that is where I go as well. That was recommended by a friend of mine from Memphis years ago, and I got the meat and cheese plate, and it's unbelievable. And it's literally just meat and cheese. But now, thank you for sharing that. So what I'd like to do is, before we, you know, jump into the questions, Chad, I kind of glossed over this earlier. I wanted to talk about it. You've recently went through a really big rebrand with your company, right? And it sounds to me like you might be getting some heat that it wasn't rebranded Peterman and Sons, but instead it's Peterman Brothers. So tell me what that process was like really quickly, and then we'll get into the conversation with John.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had our original logo. It was just Peterman Heating Cooling. Then we added plumbing. And then we recently just added electrical. And we were like, well, there's only so much room under the name. And it's going to get a little bit wordy. And so we worked with Kick Charge and Dan and team out there who did just an awesome job with everything. I can't remember who had the idea, whether it was our marketing manager or not, but the idea was brought up to put us on the side of the van. And we could probably get into this because I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, John's former company has him on the side of the van as well. So we exchanged some text messages after it was done. But yeah, went through it really looking for that edge. So you want to present something that no one else in the area or your service area has. And one of the things that we've always hung our hat on is my brother and I have always been in the radio, which actually was prompted by John. The radio, the TV, all of the stuff has our picture on it. And really to tie it all together with as many trucks as we have going around on the roads, it was just a natural kind of progression into that. My dad's caught a little flack that he's been cast to the wolves or fired or something like that from his friends, but it's all in good fun. So,
well, I think the biggest problem that you're going to have with that rebrand is ahead of you. And this is what Dan Antonelli doesn't tell you, because he doesn't think like I do. But the biggest problem is you pretty much have to stay in shape and lifting weights the rest of your life, or everyone's going to be like, you look nothing like you do on the van.
Yeah. That may be a good thing, though. A little bit of peer pressure, right?
Exactly. So, all right. Well, I think it looks great. Of course, another Antonelli design just, you know, coming to life looks great. And I think you've got 200 vans to wrap over the next coming week. So I wish you the very best on that. And congratulations. It looks great.
Yeah, thanks.
So we're going to jump into this. When we had Chad on, again, if you've not heard Chad's episode, it was episode 48. And I believe the title is Solving the Labor Shortage with Labor Velocity, I believe, which is a term that he should patent or trademark for sure. But in Chad's interview, he had kind of a before and after story. And we're familiar with this type of storytelling from contractors, because it's usually like before this moment and then after this moment, things were better. And in his case, it was before I joined Nextar and then after. Well, we know signing up for Nextar or whatever you sign up for doesn't in and of itself make your business better, because there is a massive shortage of execution and implementation. So if you ask a little further, it's usually the people behind the scenes, right? The people at Nextar or at whatever, you know, insert agency name there. It's those people that make things happen. And it sounds to me like John Conway, your coach at the time, is the one who helped you. So let's, John, if you would, tell us your story. How did you get into the trades? And then we'll talk through the relationship with Peterman and tell some other interesting things along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I got into the trades back in 1994. I went to work with my dad. He had one truck and two employees. And that was kind of where we started. Our the office of Conway Services at the time was my dad's sunroom off of the side of his home. And when I went to work with my dad that year, he had had that previous year of 1993, he'd done about $250,000 in revenue. And I was young in my early 20s, and I had came out of automotive industry where I had worked at, you know, had worked at AutoZone, and I had also worked at some other automotive parts stores and did some light managing, as much managing as they'll let young 20-year-olds do. And basically I didn't have a big understanding for small business, meaning everything that I had been around had been big business. So I didn't really, have a grasp on keeping the business small. The only thing I knew how to do was grow business. And so in 1996, 2 years later, we were doing $1.6 million. And then in 1998, the business was about $2.5 million is when I bought my dad out of the Conway business. And then continued to grow the business from there.
What were some of those early things you were doing to really 10x it in just a couple of years?
Yeah, a lot of it, Paul, just had to do with just contact making. We were doing a lot of new construction work. We didn't know what we didn't know. Weren't Nextar members. Was kind of really digging a hole in debt. Not making a lot of money and quite frankly losing money and found myself in all the way. I bought my dad out in 1998, and I found myself in 2004, $942,000 in the hole to Carrier. I try to tell people, hey, I tried to get Carrier to sell me 60 more thousand so I could say I owed them $1 million, but for some reason they thought 942 was enough. Oddly enough, in my move these last few weeks, I actually ran across in cleaning out my office, Chad, my promissory note to Carrier for the 942. But in May of 2004, I joined Nextar and just said, hey, I don't have this thing figured out. And when I joined Nextar, I quickly started to learn from my business coach, Jim Hamilton, the things that we weren't doing right and, wasn't priced right and didn't have a real understanding for billable hours and efficiency. And I mean, just quite frankly, didn't know what I didn't know. And 5 years later, February of 2009, I retired the Carrier debt free, didn't owe anybody a dime. And so that was, that was a really great time. Very monumental for us. And, through the years, even some other Nextar members said, hey, you might have been better off to file bankruptcy. And quite frankly, I used to say it this way, as long as Carrier was willing, I was willing. And, going back on my word, it's just not in my DNA and I wasn't raised that way. And so Carrier figured out pretty quick after those first couple of years at Nextar that we had figured it out. And the business had really turned around. We were giving them regular financial updates, and again, like I say, the team—it wasn't just me, but the team, at Conway Services retired that Carrier debt, and it was a fun time, certainly at that time, and it made, quite frankly, when I had the opportunity to work at Nextar, I used to always say that for me, it was never an opportunity to work for Nextar; it was always an honor to work for Nextar. And so there's a big difference in the motivation and the drive when you feel honored to be somewhere versus when you feel like it's a job or an opportunity.
Yeah, really good point. Chad, I was going to have you go on with the next question, but I wanted to ask a clarifying question because many of our listeners may have found themselves in the hole with a supplier or distributor. I know I've seen it my entire career, and I've seen many people, and I'll use air quotes here, work it out, but it always doesn't work out, right? It can have a devastating outcome. One, how long did it take you to pay off the debt? And two, how were you able to do it? Like, what arrangement? And if you're listening to this right now and you're in a truck and you're, you owe a supplier, distributor, manufacturer, six figures, how do they get through that?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One of the things that in that promissory note, I was able to set up a note, and then I was able to basically work with my business coach at Nextar. I actually had the note set up before I joined Nextar. And then as I joined, when I set up that note with a vendor, it was a monthly note. It's almost like a note that you would pay a car truck payment with or whatever. And, we put that, quite frankly, for those that are Nextar members, we put that note in our profit pricer. So we made it part of our price. And so we went out and, we went out and executed on what price we had to charge. And, Paul, there's so many guys that are riding around in the truck today. They're scared to death of the price. They're scared to charge the right price. They think, oh my goodness, there's no way I could charge $300 an hour flat rate, and one of the things I learned, when I joined in 2004, we were $185 an hour flat rate in 2004. And then I joined Nexstar, did our profit pricer. And then in the very next month, I think it was June of 04, we went from $185 an hour to $325 an hour overnight. Now, some of you guys that are listening to this podcast today, you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, $325 an hour flat rate, there's no way I could do that. Remember, this was 2004. This was a long time ago that we were that price. The price that you need to charge for your service company is the price that it costs for your service company to produce a profit. There is no such thing as going rate. It's the biggest myth in our industry. Chad's probably heard me say before, going rate equals going broke. There are going to be people in the industry that are going to, that may even be in Chad's market or in the Memphis market or in different markets that will try to determine that there's some rate that you can charge. But if that rate doesn't equal the cost to run your business and the profitability that you need, then the rate is, the rate's not going to be right. You're going to be going out of business. And so number one problem for the Conway business back prior to 2004 and prior to joining Nexstar was we wasn't charging the right price.
Yeah, you kind of it's like being back at a coaching session here. We've got the John Conway-isms. John hasn't been our coach for probably 6 months, a year, something like that. And there are still a ton of times when, John Conway would say around the office. So appreciate you sharing that. One of the things, obviously, price is a huge, hurdle for some, and there's a multitude of different problems that people face as they try to either dig out of a hole or just get past one of those hurdles, whether it be 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, whatever it is. What did you see in some of the people you coached, which you can tell us the number? I know it's absurdly high. I thought it was over 100 at one time that you were coaching. What were some of the qualities in those kind of owners, GM, service managers that you saw that led to a lot of success in those businesses you were coaching?
Yeah, Chad, that's a good question because you guys alluded to it. Paul alluded to it a little bit earlier. I remember Jim Hamilton telling me this, and I gave Jim a lot of credit for the turnaround in my business, but I remember Jim telling me, hey, John, I really didn't tell you anything different than I told anybody else, just some people execute and some don't, and quite frankly, there would be guys like yourself, Chad, when we would hang up from a call, you'd have Kool-Aid running down the side of your mouth, because you were drinking the Kool-Aid, and there would be other guys that would hang up off the call, and they had to sit around with their managers and explain how John doesn't know our market, and we can't do it this way and it can't be done that way. And so, when you start thinking about the success stories, they're really comes from, literally most Nexstar coaches, are really in the business to help people. And we were, we kind of, a lot of us all tell the same story or we give the same coaching. We give it, of course, to each business is different. So some businesses need coaching in different areas. But at the end of the day, it has to do with when the phone hangs up, what do you go do? What's the action? I remember one of the Nexstar trainers saying one day, there's only going to be change and discomfort. So sometimes when you make some changes, they're not always going to be comfortable. But in that discomfort is where the change actually happens at. And So for me, Chad, to answer that question, I would say it's got to be the execution, and then somebody just not constantly questioning, oh, this wouldn't work in my market or that won't work in my market. I coached 111 companies for Nexstar all over the nation, from Boston to New York to Portland to any part of California, Arizona, Texas, obviously in the Midwest, Florida, and I've yet to find anything that won't work in any particular market. Sometimes you got to tweak or adjust a little bit, but it's not normally a market problem.
I can hear the John Conway-isms coming out. So I know totally what you're talking about, Chad. So tell me, I want to kind of segue here. You said you coached 111 contractors over your time at Nexstar. What was it like during your early days with Peterman, and what's your perspective on their growth and change and transformation since you first met them?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question there, Paul. So, you know, first of all, one of the things that stood out was that the Petermans, and I mean mom and dad, Mr. Pete, had done a great job of, they had done a great job of raising two fine young men in Chad and Tyler. That was apparent. You know, that part just stood out, that I had two young guys that were go-getters, that were hard workers, that everything didn't have to be their way. They were there to learn. The second thing that stood out was that Chad and Tyler were both sponges. And so they were willing to, you know, absorb the information, you know. And, you know, early on, Chad and Tyler got involved in our budgeting process, the business planning workshops at Nexstar. And early on, they got involved in, you know, setting goals. And then we talked about, hey, the things that, you know, it would take to accomplish these goals. And then you kind of got out of their way, you know. And sometimes, you know, sometimes, Chad, you see members, they don't really mean to do this, but they want all the information, but they're not willing to go do the work. You know, and you know, a Nexstar coach on a call with you a couple of times a month, and maybe in your shop once a year, and maybe you see them at business planning workshop, can really lead you a long way, but they can't do the work for you. And you guys were great at getting it, quite frankly, taking the prescription and then taking the medicine and going after it, you know. You know, Tyler has a very unique role in the business and running operations on the install side of the business. And Chad has a very unique position in, you know, running the entire business and the company and the sales guys. And at the end of the day, you know, you just had two great young guys there who were raised properly and who were willing to go to work and willing to get after it. And it quite frankly is a testament to the parents.
What a tribute to your dad. Chad, did you want to add anything there as the from your perspective over that period of time?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the kind words, John. Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, getting into it, both of us came from really a non-trades background. I had actually worked outside the company for 2 years after college before I came in, which I think gave me a good perspective on just building your own ideas and, you know, feeling comfortable challenging something, or, hey, maybe we could do it like this. And, you know, for us, I just feel the biggest thing that I've always kind of prided myself on, I know my brother does as well, is, you know, we don't know everything and nor do we profess to, and that's okay. And it's okay to be, as John said earlier, it's okay to be uncomfortable in that you may be doing something you've never done, or you may be doing a process that is totally contrary to the way that you did it. But I think always the important thing to remember, once you have the trust in the organization that you're working with or the coach that you have that you're working with, is that they wouldn't be telling you to do something that's not going to work or that someone else isn't currently doing. So I always got off calls. And if someone said, well, we can't, I don't know how we're going to do that. I go, if he told us to do it, someone is doing it in this country. If I need to find them, I will, but someone's doing it. So let's put our heads together. And yeah, as he said, we may have to tweak it a little bit. Hey, we're in the Midwest. Maybe this person was in Phoenix. It's a little bit different, whatever it may be. You just figure out a way to make it work. You know, all of these ideas are more than likely going to aid in, or you're going to learn something from, and you can continue to move forward.
I say it all the time that innovation is not really required at this stage of for any company, right? The innovation will come and then you can apply and execute later. It's execution that's missing. So fascinating. I want to talk more about the relationship between player and coach, but I want to kind of segue a little bit. What was it like, John, to move from owner operator, running a big company, highly successful, to transitioning to a full-time coach? What was that process like for you? What was the rationale that went in behind it? And just tell me about that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last thing on what Chad was mentioning also is Chad's team and Chad and Tyler and the team also, those guys were, they knew what the outcome was where they were trying to get to. So I had some members that I coach, it didn't quite frankly matter what I told them to do. They would just do it exactly how I told them. And Chad and them were pretty close at that, except Chad would always make sure that it worked for his business, and he would put whatever refinements he needed on it for his business, which was great, you know, because I'm not there every day. He's there every day. But at the end of the day, he knew where we had to get to on whatever the topic was. If we were discussing, you know, where we had to get to on call count or how our call center outbound called, you know, those different type things, he would, you know, those guys were always good at being able to mold it to their business. And then sometimes I used to make this statement, you know, and the business is a pretty simple business. It's kind of what you were alluding to a while ago, Paul. It's not a complicated business. That's kind of why they let me in it. You know, if it's complicated, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But it's a pretty simple business. And you got to focus on the simple stuff, you know, and you got to focus on the call count. You got to focus on your conversion rate, your average sale. I mean, that's it. Those are the three drivers of the business. You know, if you're not hitting your goals, it's one of those three reasons. And, but a lot of people will get off in the weeds and start looking at other stuff and, you know, getting chasing shiny stuff, and then they don't pay attention to the important stuff. And so, you know, Chad and Tyler have been really good at paying attention to the important stuff. And, you know, keeping focused on that. But hey, to answer your question on, thank you for letting me run a little bit on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
To answer your question on the segue, after selling the Conway business in 2010, I continued to work for the guys that I sold to for 4.5 years.
As a partner or just an employee?
I was just a GM of the business. I ran the business And so I continued to work for those guys through the end of 2014. And over the years, you know, Jack Tester knew my story. Jack was the president of Nextstar at the time, and he knew my story. He knew how much I loved Nextstar. I still love Nextstar. I'm back as a member of Nextstar now. But Jack, he told me one day, he said, you'll know when. And whenever when is, you just call my cell number, and we'll have an opportunity waiting on you at Nextstar. And so it was December of 2014 was when kind of hit at that point. And I just said, hey, you know what? It's the business. The Conway business is now, you know, over $20 million a year in revenues, and the team is doing really good. And it's really just a good time for me to, you know, go do something different. And I kind of always knew what the something different was. I didn't really know when it was. And so at the end of 2014, December of 2014, I called Jack the week between Christmas and New Year. I remember it was like a Tuesday, and I called Jack and I said, all right, I'm ready. You know, and he goes, all right, when you want to start? And I said, oh no, you're not getting off that easy. I want you to put me through the same interviews and the same process you'd put any other business coach through. And he said, fair enough. He said, can you come to Minneapolis on Friday? I said, this Friday? He said, yep, this Friday. I said, yep. So I came up that Friday before New Year's, went through all the interviewing process. And at the end of the day, met with Jack again. And he said, all right, when you want to start? And But to, you know, that was kind of the trend, the process, and then the trend, you know, as far as the transition goes, because of my experience in the Conway business, I had a passion for profits. I still have a passion for profits. I don't have as much a passion for revenue as I do for profits. And Chad's got a couple of knots on his head from that. And so we've talked about chasing, you know, sometimes we get to chasing that top line, and it's just a lot more work for a lot less money. And so I keep a, you know, my focus is on the bottom line. Obviously, you got to get the top line, but, you know, to get the top line at the wrong price just means you do a lot of work and make less money. So I'd rather do less work and make more money. And so that's, but that was kind of my transition. And then spent 6 years at Nextar as a business coach. It's a very gratifying time. Nextar is a great place. You know, they have, you know, only one goal at Nextar has been left from Frank Blau, the founder, and that's just improving the industry of their 700 plus members today. And so I certainly enjoyed there as an employee, and I'm certainly enjoying it now as a member as well.
Got it. No, thank you so much for sharing that. I want to go a little bit deeper on your transition from, you know, a company with your name on the side of it where you're the GM and leaving that company. Was that a painful process? What was it like for the employees when you left? Do you recall what that period of time was like?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be a difficult time. One of the things that I had to remind myself of is that the difficulty of the time was going to happen whenever I left. So if I left at the end of 2014, it was going to be somewhat difficult for some of the employees. And if I left at the end of 2019, it was still going to be somewhat difficult. So the fact that the timing just had to be, when was it right for me and my family? And also, when was it right for the business? I was really only obligated to be there for 3 years. And at the time, at the end of 3 years, the timing just wasn't right for the business. And so I just continued to do what I was doing, you know. And but one of the things, Paul, that you found in that time when I left was you found that there were some employees there that worked for Conway Services, and there were some employees there that worked for John Conway. Mm-hmm. And there was a big difference. And right. And quite frankly, some of the employees that worked for John Conway did struggle when that void was not in the business anymore, when there was kind of a void left in the business. And when I say struggle, what I mean by that is they just were kind of, I would say, maybe lost their center of gravity a little bit. And most of those employees work for Nextar now, by the way. But, you know, but anyways, the business has done really well. And the GM in the business today is my former controller, and you know, I'm proud to still have my picture on the side of the trucks and my name on the business, and the business has done really well. And a lot of my key managers are still there. There's just a handful that really struggled when John left, but you know, I've been not in the business for almost 7 years now, and so from a day to day standpoint, and the employees that are there, they still. The service manager, the controller, the GM, they still all know the Conway values, and they still teach and train and implement and run the values of, you know, my values, which are their values, on a daily basis.
Got it. Chad, I want to toss this one over to you to either move forward with a new question or jump in on some of the things that John shared about his experience during that transition or coaching.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I think this may make a good time for kind of a transition into John's current role at Redwood. And the reason I say that is because you said that, John, you mentioned, you know, your love for profits, and you also mentioned that I took a few knots on the head, which is completely and utterly accurate.
Would love supporting details around some of those.
I'm sure. I'd rather not rehash them. You know, we've learned it and moved on from that. But, you know, I think that your love for profits really points to your attention to detail and your really love for the process and the operation and how it's supposed to move from point A to point B in the most efficient manner possible. as I said at the beginning, you're now the COO of Redwood Services. Tell us a little bit about Redwood. Tell us about what your role is, and then you know, maybe a little bit about the companies that you're working with, and what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, at Redwood Services, you know, I kind of always thought I'd retire at Nexstar. And then, you know, coming up on about a year ago now, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Richard Lewis, our CEO at Redwood Services. And the lunch was really just kind of a meet and greet type lunch. And I still like to tell people, Chad, I'm a young 50. And so somewhere, Paul, lurking in the back of my mind was this this thought process that I may have another run left in me. And as much as I love Nexstar, enjoyed my time at Nexstar, Richard and I had lunch and then was able to have some further conversations, you know, about joining Redwood as their COO. And they've got, you know, really good backing, good capital, great finance team, good home services background. And just really breaking into the HVAC plumbing and electrical industry, really kind of needed that day-to-day operator. And so that's been, that was an opportunity that came my way in the fall of last year. And then gave Nexstar a really nice 4-month notice and able to transition the Nexstar members really smoothly. And then at the beginning of the year, I joined Redwood as their COO. And they're a Memphis-based company. And, you know, we're I'll just call ourselves kind of a small, scrappy group that is running with a people-first focus. And our, you know, one of our first partner companies that joined with us was Right Way out of Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, Rhino client.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a Rhino client. And Rick Walter and I have a very similar relationship to myself and Chad, and they just have a phenomenal team there and a great business. And we've just been excited to be their partner. And then most recently, just partnered with John C. Flood in Alexander, Virginia, and then Jim Seltzer is our partner there, and we're just excited about that as well. And they've got a great business and a great team there.
Got it. I have a lot of further questions around what you're doing now, but I want to go back to something you mentioned. You know, when you started with Redwood, did you envision that the landscape for mergers and acquisitions and partnering, all these sort of things, would look like it looks right now? Did you have those optics at the time, or is the reality of the market different than what you anticipated?
You know, the market's been pretty hot for probably the last year to 18 months. And so we kind of expected it to be hot, you know. We're basically in our partnerships really looking for the right people. We're, you know, I know, you know, my job, of course, is identifying our future partner companies. And we're really tied more, Paul, to the right people than we are the right market. So, you know, we never did a market analysis on Tucson. You know, we never said how many households are there and, you know, how often the water heaters get changed out. Mm-hmm. You know, we just knew that Rick Walter is salt of the earth and he's, you know, a fine gentleman, and Chris Sun and Mike and, you know, the entire management team there, you know, we knew were people that we wanted to be on our team and we wanted to partner with.
Got it. So what are the characteristics of a great partner, and what does a partnership look like with Redwood?
Yeah. So the characteristics of a great partner are, you know, for us is really people who are looking for a partner, who are looking to run. You know, when I say run, they're looking for they're looking for some gas in the engine. They're looking to grow their business. They're looking to work side by side, with myself and others on our team to help improve their business, to help improve the lives of their employees, you know, to offer, some of the top benefits in the industry to their employees, you know, and basically, you know, again, we're very, a very people focused business. And so, I've found myself recently over the last couple of months, finding out that, you know, a lot of people say they're people focused, you know, so you could probably get, you could probably get four John Conways on the call and that are COOs of PE groups or private money groups or whatever, and they'd all say they're people focused. But people focus is actually not something you say, it's actually something that you do. Mm-hmm. And so when I started thinking about that, one of the things that came to mind, you know, that I know that we're doing different in the Redwood side of the business is quite frankly, we just care. We just care about people. And sometimes in the PE world, you're not going to be able to put people in front of profits. And this comes from a directive from our CEO, Richard Lewis, that we are going to put people in front of profits. We're going to run a people-based business. We're not going to run an Excel spreadsheet number-based business. I would say that, kind of being a people-centered business is an action. It's not a statement. It's not something that you talk about. It's something that you got to live by. It's something that you got to do, you know, work with. And so that's been kind of the neat thing. So our partnerships at Redwood, we like to come alongside and partner with businesses at different levels. And it just depends on whatever level the partner is comfortable with. And we can, you know, we work through that in some of our process. But at the end of the day, it's just about partnering with the right people more than the right markets.
Got it. Chad, you want to jump in with anything related to building a people-centric culture or how that philosophy has informed or influenced your business?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I wrote down a couple of things there as John was talking, and the two things that stand out most are, you know, culture is active. If you think, putting ping pong tables and napping pods in your shop is going to create culture, you're dead wrong. Those will help, and there's nothing wrong with those, but it really comes down to caring about your people. Nexstar has a philosophy that what they tell all their technicians and service systems is you provide great customer service and the revenue will follow. And I think John said just as much of, you know, it's when we put the profits or the revenue in front of our people, because customer service is internal as much as probably more than it is external, how we treat our people internally. When we put it in front, that's when the equation gets mixed up. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep the customer service in front of revenue and profits, guess what's going to happen? The revenue and the profit will be there. You don't have to do anything special in this business. It's very simple, as John said. And that's what I tell all of our top tech students that come in fresh out of the industry, never been in it. I say, if this business ever gets complicated, you'll know you're doing it wrong. It should be very, very simple. Go out and take care of somebody. The rest will follow.
Right. So I want to ask another further, I guess, clarifying question there. So at Rhino, we talk about, you know, being a great place for employees and a great place for customers and not one at the expense of the other. And that sounds great on paper, but from day to day, it requires that there's a lot of like forks in the road that we have to come to be able to, you know, uphold that. And it's not always easy. So could either of you describe how to, if I'm listening to this as an owner of a small business, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, whatever it might be, you know, how do I put that in action where I put my people over profit and it plays, you know, well for the long game profit of the company, right?
Yeah, so I'll take it at first, Chad, and then you might want to bounce off of it too. One of the things to keep in mind is this is a process-driven business. And so you got to start looking at the process side of the business. And I'll give you an example. You might have a service goal for your technicians, Paul, and your service goal may be that they go out and do $1,250 a day. I'm just using that as a, you know, round number. And the technician has ran two calls and they were maintenance calls and maybe collected $100 or $200 or something. And he's now at the third call, but he's got to do $1,000 today. So now he's pulled up in front of the house. And all he's thinking about is I got to hit $1,000 a day so my boss don't get on to me anymore. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very bad place for your technician to be.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a worse place for your customer to be.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And so what you want your technician to do is you want him to pull up in front of the first driveway, second driveway, and third driveway, and you want him to focus on his process. You want him to focus on the training that he's been given to execute on great customer service. And when he gets, it kind of goes along the lines of what Chad was saying. When he gets to the end of the day, what you're going to find happen is the revenue is going to be there. Now, it may not be there every day. Our technicians aren't perfect. They won't hit their numbers every day. But the best chance for them to win consistently on a daily basis is just by following the process. For the NextStar members that are listening, they'll know that that's a NextStar service system process. And, you know, if they'll just follow the process, the money will show up. I like to quote Nick Saban from time to time, and Nick Saban will say, do your job at the highest level and the wins will follow. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing for our technicians at the service companies today. Hey, do your job at the highest level, deliver great customer service, and the revenue will be there.
Got it. Chad, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think he makes a great point in, you know, really taking the focus off of, you know, average ticket and conversion rate and, you know, a daily goal is extremely important. But where I see a service manager or perhaps someone that I'm working with get out of whack is when that is their sole focus is, well, they told me I had to have this conversion rate and this average ticket and this, that, and the other. And it's like, yes, absolutely. Those are where you want to shoot for. Those are good metrics. But are you coaching the process? The prime example of that I give is, you know, a lot of people I hear say, well, these incentives, they aren't working. You know, well, they get bonuses, they get more money for this and that and the other. And I always say in our business, I go, if you gave that guy, if you told him today before it started, I'll give you $10,000 if you can hit the 1250 that John was talking about. Do you think he could do it? And usually I get a couple blank stares. Well, I mean, I guess he would try. Yeah, he may try, but could he do it? And oftentimes it's like, well, probably not, you know? And I go, well, why can't he do it? And the reason usually boils down to he's not following the process. He's not focused on providing great customer service. And when you can focus on the process is customer service. You know, some people are like, I feel so robotic. It's like, well, it won't after you do it enough times. And then it will become a consistent experience for the customer, which equates to better customer service for the customer. And that is really what we try to focus on is, are we following the process? It's not, hey, why didn't you hit that number? It's, hey, did you run through the agenda card? Yes. Okay. Well, what open-ended questions did you ask the customer? Did you identify any needs or wants from them? Well, no, I didn't really do that. Okay. Well, that is probably why you got the result that you got. So let's, on the next call, let's not focus on the ticket. Let's focus on doing the right things right. And then that ticket will be there because the customer will trust you. They will have identified all their needs to you and everything will flow. And so it really just focus on the right things. Some people get so caught up in that, you know, just the monotony, and you're not going to do anything. If a guy doesn't know how to get there, he's not going to get there. You got to teach him the process of how to get there.
Chad, did that come natural to you, or was that the role of having a coach, being able to hold your, you know, technicians or team accountable without being a spreadsheet driven organization, like those communication skills, was that natural to you, or, you know, did that come through years of development?
Yeah. So I think it comes a little bit natural to me and probably by default, because I was terrible at sales when I tried it, early on in the business. And so I was like, well, shoot, I got to figure out something. I can't tell these guys how to do this. Right. And, so what I found is I'm very process driven. I can follow a process. And so, where John helped tremendously was giving us really those metrics, those, hey, this is what we need to be shooting for. Hey, here's how to do it. And then really holding our managers accountable to, hey, you didn't hit your number. We'll just use Steve's name because he gets picked on a lot. We'll use Steve. Steve, your guys didn't hit your numbers. Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Well, are you following the batting order? Ooh, maybe not. Okay, let's go back. Let's rehash that. And a lot of it is just a fresh set of eyes looking at the business, because you get so wrapped up in the day to day that it's like, I don't even know. I'm chasing my tail. It's already middle of next week, and we didn't do so well last week, and we're kind of doing the same thing. And so where we found value in the in John, and where I think a lot of people would find value in kind of an outside resource looking at your stuff, is just a fresh perspective of like, hey, that number's off. And then we were very good at this. And I made a rule probably in about year three with John. I said, here's the deal. We can't have excuses. So if you know that he's going to come and he's going to say that that isn't good, tell him what you're going to do to make it better. At least have some ideas. Just there's no excuses as to why it is. It's not the weather. It's not, I don't have enough technicians. It's not any of that. It's what can you do to make it better? And really instilling that philosophy kind of came over work of, you know, how are we going to get there? Well, let's focus on the things we can control and we'll get to where we want to be.
Got it. You know, one of the things that I'm realizing I'm missing without Chris being on here is Chris always does a really good job of making sure we don't go too far over time. And with where I am in my head right now with the things I want to ask you guys, this is going to be on Audible. It's not going to be a podcast. This is going to be a book. Okay. So I'm going to do my best to try to wrap it up. And I'm also realizing there's always going to be a part two with Tall Paul because I have more questions. I wanted to go so much deeper on your two relationships as player and coach, but I know with time we're going to kind of have to segue. So, John, you've had a really interesting career. I mean, if you look back on it, I mean, I will call it remarkable. What do you want your legacy to be and what's next?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, you know, when I think about that a little bit, I think my legacy will kind of start off with, you know, a guy who made a lot of mistakes. And so I used to tell Chad, hey, I won't be able to tell you everything to do, but I do got a long list of things not to do. And so, you know, when I think about the legacy, I think, first of all, from a business standpoint, I hope that my legacy is a guy who cares, you know, and who will put people, you know, first. And that was really what, you know, appealed to me on this Redwood approach, you know, and I think, you know, that's, I know Jim Hamilton did that for me, you know, and you know, Jim taught me a long time ago, hey, you can't care more than the people care, you know, so I couldn't care more than Chad cares. Chad had to care more than I cared in order for it to work. And obviously he did, you know, and so I would hope that my legacy and the, you know, the business side of things would be that I cared, you know, and was able to kind of bring that, you know, because, you know, I show up at Right Way at 6:30 in the morning and I got 50 chicken biscuits and I'm back in the parking lot with the installers. And the first time I did that, the guys thought I worked for Chick-fil-A, by the way. And it kind of comes from when I got in the business, my dad thought it'd be a good idea that I was an HVAC installer. And so I have a compassion and a passion for the installers. You know, I commonly will say they're the hardest working, most underappreciated group in the business. And so you have to do some things to show appreciation to them. And sometimes just a guy like myself showing up in the back parking lot, walking around, handing them chicken biscuits and hanging out with them means a lot to them, you know. And so, you know, I hope my legacy one day will be, you know, from a business standpoint, that I care. And Paul, I'm a Christian by faith. And personally, I hope that my legacy will be that I was a follower of Jesus Christ. And then the most important thing is I'm now Papa John and I have two grandkids, and one calls me Pop Pop. And that's probably the best legacy that I could have.
Got it. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm smiling about the biscuits because, you know, it reminds me of things that I tell my sales team here at Rhino. And that is like back to the basics. Like it doesn't require some new way to engage with people and appreciate them. And then I was smiling because then I thought that kind of sounds like back to the biscuits instead of back to the basics. Yeah. You know, so when I moved to the South, so I've lived all over, but I moved to the Carolinas I guess 6 years ago, and people would talk about bringing biscuits, and I'm using air quotes, biscuits. I'm like, what do you mean a chicken biscuit? There's a biscuit made out of chicken. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. And then I went to learn everywhere else in the country, that's called a breakfast sandwich. But here in the South, that's called getting biscuits.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. And Chad, I know it's an HR, you know, violation to ask someone or mention how old someone is, but I mean, you're in your early 30s, I'm guessing here, right?
Yep.
And
34.
34, great. So what's next for you? Like, you've got so much runway ahead of you. You've got a high performing company. You've just done a rebrand. You don't have to share anything too confidential, but what's on the horizon for you, my man?
Yeah. So, a lot of exciting stuff. Most importantly, as John concluded with, I've got another little one on the way that'll be here in middle of August. And I've already got she'll be three in August as well, running around the house. So, that's a lot of fun. And then my brother, he and his wife are actually expecting a boy at the beginning of November. So we are going to have two young apprentices running around. That'll be about 3 months apart. So that'll be a lot of fun here coming up in the months ahead. But really for us, it's just continuing to get better. I always tell our people, it's not about getting bigger. It's about getting better. The bigger will take care of itself. And, we've got a lot of things that we're continuing to really scratch the surface on, as far as really digging into the training aspect, of our business. We recently moved some people around, started up a training. We have our own school, the Peterman Top Tech Academy, which is good. And then also on another wing, we have training for our internal employees. So we have a training director and then trainers under them that are constantly running classes. We've really beefed up our onboarding process. Really for us, I think that's where it's at. I think for a long time, we address the bringing people into the industry with the school, but now it's addressing the people that we have on our team. And are we really providing the training that they need to be successful? And I think a lot of us in the contractor world, being emergency service means we run wherever. So it's hot, we're running. It's raining, we're running. People need us, we're running. And it's very easy to forget that people still need that training. And people still need that development and continuing to work with them to make them a better version of themselves, because that's why they joined your organization. Most would say, well, they joined it for a paycheck. Well, no, at the end of the day, you better hope they joined it to get better. And that includes being a better husband, father, mother, sister, whatever it may be, we're all looking to get better. So that for us is really the fun part. The rebrand's been fun. We've had a lot of fun around the office. We've gotten finally back to meetings, which are my favorite part. We've got some events coming up. We recently, just won 2 weeks ago, won Bryant Dealer of the Year.
Right. So I forgot to congratulate you. Thanks. Thank you for reminding me. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's probably 5,000 Bryant dealers in the country.
Yeah, there's quite a few kind of more heavily concentrated in some parts of the country than others, but so we just won that, and that's been something for our team to celebrate. We've got a big event planned here in about a month. Just getting back to those fun things that make, as John stated, culture being an active part. Well, a lot of that activity is just getting to know your people and being able to hang out. And if there's anything that I've hated about COVID, it's that you can't hang out and you can't be with your people. And we tried some Zoom stuff and it was all right, I guess. So a lot of fun, a lot of good things to come for sure.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for sharing and also coming on to the podcast and co-hosting with me today. You crushed it. For those listening, Chad has a podcast. It's called Can't Stop the Growth. So CSTG, I think, is how you abbreviate it. So check out his podcast. As I've mentioned several times, we don't take sponsors for this podcast. It performs really, really well. People listen to it. And the only thing we do to keep this thing going is, we love the reviews. We love the feedback we're getting. Now, I said we don't take sponsors, but this episode was brought to you by Peterman Brothers. I owe you that. I owe you that for forgetting to mention that you were the Bryant Dealer of the Year, which is a really big deal. So congratulations to you and your team. That's not an easy, I've been in those meetings with different manufacturers as they evaluate criteria. And I'll tell you what, man, it is a rigorous process, to be recognized as the number one dealer for a major brand. So, congratulations to your team. When you guys have a celebration, if I'm up in Indiana, invite me, I'll bring some cake. So I do spend some time in Indiana. I'm going to wrap this up like Chris likes to by sharing a review. First of all, if you're listening to this and you've never left a review for To The Point Home Services podcast, please do go to the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, scroll all the way down to the bottom, leave us a review. This is the fuel we use to do this. So this review came in and says the real deal, 5 stars, of course, or we would never share it on this podcast. Chris and team have it going on. Excellent podcast with solid guests sharing the real deal, fist bump, real time applicable ideas that can make a powerful impact with your team, business, life, emoji, muscle arm. And this is from, I think our listeners will know this name, Ulaika. So I'm guessing that's our friend Lou Hobaika out on the West Coast. Lou, only problem with this this review is you didn't specifically mention my name. So as you leave reviews, mention Tall Paul. It's good job security for me. So listeners, I hope you enjoyed this. Please, like the kids say on YouTube, like it, subscribe, and listen to it. And as always, thank you for your time. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. John, any final words you want to leave our listeners with today?
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing I would say is just very proud of Chad and Tyler and the team at Peterman on their Bryan Award, but also just really proud of how it's developing, you know, with a very people-focused culture. So it's something to be proud of. They're winning, and they're winning the right way. Lastly, I would say also, if you find yourself looking for a if you find yourself looking for a succession plan or looking for a partner, you can reach me at john@redwoodservices.com. That's john@redwoodservices.com. And we'd love to have a conversation with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And see, this is why I'm missing Chris. Chris would have teed you up to share your contact information. So john@redwoodservices.com. And the main message I heard, you know, when we were talking early in the podcast, you know, you talked about just wanting to give to the industry to elevate the industry. So I'll close with this. If you are listening to this and you are in the stage of your career and you're a Chad, you need to find a John. And if you're listening to this and you're at the stage of your career where you're a John, you need to find a Chad. And that is how you change and elevate the industry. So To The Point listeners, you heard it here, people over profits, but you have to have a process. Thank you for listening to The Point. Until next time.
Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.